Standing by the man.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Tuesday morning. After months of speculation in Washington about whether Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke would be reappointed to another term, the wait and the debate are apparently over. Later today, President Obama is expected to announce Bernanke will stay on for another term. Marketplace's Steve Henn has a reaction.
Bernanke is a known quantity, and this is one less thing for the markets to be nervous about. Peter Hahn's a former Citibank exec and teaches finance at the John Cass Business School in London. He says today's announcement will put an end to what was shaping up to be a distracting debate.
In Europe, we tend to make these changes pretty much by fiat. They're done deals. But in America, any change would involve a massive amount of discussion and trying to influence future policy.
And that, Hahn says, could have easily upset the markets.
So if the point is trying to not lose sight of where we're going, it would probably be disastrous to change the person.
Bernanke's first term is scheduled to end in 5 months. Hahn says his early reappointment is likely to reassure investors worried about political pressure on the Fed and future U.S. inflation. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The White House and Congress are set to issue separate budget estimates today. The reports are likely to show the government will spend a record $1.6 trillion more than it collects this year. The early week stock rally isn't continuing this morning. Markets in Europe are down right now. Asian shares closed mostly lower today. The benchmark Chinese index lost more than 2.5%. Let's just say Wall Street didn't go very far yesterday. The Dow was up a tad, and by a tad I mean 3 points, to close at 95.09. NASDAQ and S&P shares lost a tad. Oil's hovering at just a hair under $74 a barrel. By the way, a hair is about a tad. China's been busy making acquisitions lately, especially in oil and gas. This year alone, Chinese state-owned companies have inked multi-billion dollar deals in Russia, Angola, and Brazil. But one deal in Iraq has landed corporate China in some political hot water. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
China's biggest refiner, Sinopec, may be blacklisted from future projects in Iraq. So says a top Iraqi official quoted by Reuters. That's because Sinopec may buy a Swiss oil drilling firm that has a deal with the Kurds in northern Iraq. The Kurds in Baghdad don't see eye to eye on oil revenue. Sinopec, welcome to the neighborhood, says David Hewitt of brokerage CLSA.
The blacklist comment that we're talking about today is probably one of many signposts that signal the difficulty of working in that area.
Still, China is hugely interested in Mideast oil. It imports half its oil, so it needs energy security. Global assets are now cheap, and Beijing has cash. Sinopec did not comment today, but even if it were blacklisted, Hewitt figures China can deal with it.
If Sinopec were barred from future bids in Iraq, then you still have two other state-owned entities that are Chinese that can continue to bid in Iraq.
Meantime, corporate China is still shopping elsewhere. Word is the next big oil deal could come in Argentina. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The folks in the Missouri legislature should probably take a course in chemistry. They passed a law intending to reduce floating debris from abandoned foam coolers in the state's waterways. Cleanup of those items costs the state a lot of money, but lawmakers barred the wrong substance. The coolers are commonly called styrofoam. They're made from expanded polystyrene. The official Missouri law bars polypropylene. That's a plastic found in things like dishwasher-safe leftover containers and bowls. So the foam coolers will likely continue to float freely, while boaters with Tupperware on board could be hauled off to jail.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Of course, you want a big return on your investment. Although times are tough right now, there's one area where the more you put in, the bigger the payoff. But it won't be in dollars and cents. Instead, it turns out money can buy you love, or at least a date. Sally Herships has more.
Jan Landy is 58. He sells professional sound and lighting equipment in Las Vegas. He's what you might call a connoisseur of online dating sites. He says he's tried them all, from eHarmony to The Onion. His current favorite is MillionaireMatch.com. He says the site lets big earners like him certify their incomes. Landy had to send in a copy of his tax return.
Because what happens is when you're on Millionaire Match, you actually think you're going to meet a millionaire.
And are you?
Well, some people are millionaires. I happen to be a certified millionaire, and that really helps in casting the net.
For the younger, attractive women Landy was hoping to meet. But actually, Landy's onto something. According to Ray Fisman, he's a behavioral economist at Columbia Business School. He used to run a speed dating service.
Yes, if you want to put it very coarsely, and maybe you shouldn't put this on there, the gold digger stereotype holds true.
Fisman has studied daters. He says if a man's earning capacity goes up by about $250,000, it can have the same effect as the ultimate makeover, turning him from extremely unattractive to extremely, well, hot. But sorry, single ladies, the reverse isn't true.
There's basically no sum of money that will make an unattractive woman desirable on these sites.
Fisman says online, looks are the main currency for women. But for men like Landy, answering queries about your bank balance can help you get a date. But even though science says money is a surefire online aphrodisiac, there's still one problem. How do you know if online daters are being honest? Landy says take his new girlfriend. She drives a Lexus.
What's the story on the car? Is it leased? I have no idea. What am I going to do, go through a glove compartment and look at a registration? It ain't going to happen.
And Fisman says, even when sites seem to have nailed the right questions to ask, it's still hard to know if they're successful at matching.
Very often we don't observe these outcomes, and in fact, in many cases, the companies themselves don't observe these outcomes.
Who knows, Fisman says, what will happen with a relationship 40 years from now? Landy just canceled his membership on Millionaire Match. He's going to see how things go with his current girlfriend, the one with the nice car. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Got a love story to share? Tell it to us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.